It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're studying the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 37, and we're going to begin reading with the first verse. And so if you'd please open your Bibles to that scripture verse, we will begin the study here shortly. As you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks of Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. You'll find many of these radio broadcasts on the website, as well as the Sunday message, the plan of salvation, our constitution. You can really enjoy it, so I hope that you take time. If you have that opportunity, please take time to look and enjoy the what we have there to learn and to grow through the website. Now, once again, Exodus chapter 37, we're going to begin with the first verse in reading. And Bezalel made the ark of acacia wood, 2 cubits and a half was the length of it, 1.5 cubits the breadth of it, 1.5 cubits the height of it. He overlaid it with pure gold within and without, and made a crown of gold to it round about. And he cast for it 4 rings of gold, to be set by the 4 corners of it, even 2 rings upon the one side of it, and 2 rings upon the other side. And he made staves of acacia wood overlaid with gold, and he put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark to bear the ark. And he made the mercy seat of pure gold, 2.5 cubits was the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And he made 2 cherubims of gold beaten out of 1 piece, made he them on the 2 ends of the mercy seat, and 1 cherubim on the end on this side, and another cherubim on the other end on that side. Out of the mercy seat made he the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubim spread out their wings on high, and covered with their wings over the mercy seat, with their faces one to another, even to the mercy seat, the mercy seatward, were the faces of the cherubims. And he made the table of acacia wood. 2 cubits was the length thereof, and 1 cubit was the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And he overlaid it with pure gold, and made thereunto a crown of gold round about. Also he made thereunto a border of a handbreadth round about, and made a crown of gold for the border thereof round about. And he cast for it 4 rings of gold, put the rings upon the 4 corners that were in the 4 feet thereof, over against the border where the rings, the places for the staves to bear the table. And he made the staves of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold to bear the table. And he made the vessels which were upon the table, his dishes and his spoons and his bowls and his covers, to cover withal of pure gold. And he made the candlestick of pure gold, of beaten work made he the candlestick, his shaft and his branch, his bowls and his knops and his flowers were of the same. And 2 branches going out of the sides thereof, 3 branches of the candlesticks out of one side thereof, and 3 branches of the candlestick out of the other side thereof. 3 bowls made after the fashion of the almonds, in 1 branch, a knop and a flower, and 3 bowls made like almonds in another branch, a knop and a flower, so throughout the 6 branches going out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick were 4 bowls made like almonds, his knops and his flowers. and a knop under one branch of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, according to the six branches going out of it. And their knops and their branches were of the same. All of it was one beaten work of pure gold. And he made his seven lamps, and his snuffers, and the snuff dishes of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold made he it, and all the vessels thereof. And he made the incense altar of acacia wood, and the length of it was a cubit, and the breadth of it a cubit. It was four square, and two cubits was the height of it, and the horns thereof were of the same. And he overlaid it with pure gold, both the top of it and the side thereof, round about, and the horns of it also were made unto it a crown of gold round about. And he made two rings of gold for it under the crown thereof, by the two corners of it, upon the two sides thereof, to be places for the staves to bear it withal. And he made the staves of acacia wood, and overlaid them with gold. And he made the holy anointing oil, and the pure incense of the sweet spices, according to the work of the apothecary. And we're going to begin with prayer after reading that chapter now. Father, I thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time. It's just a precious, sweet time to come together and study your word. And it's always a joy, whether we be in the Old Testament or the New Testament. It's your living word from cover to cover. So please that you will show us your way, show us your will, that we may know each and every part this time to enjoy it. So please, dear Lord, guide and lead us, direct us. It's so important, dear Father, that we have your perfect will as we do this. So I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What a wonderful opportunity we have to study the Word. We have first the ark and the mercy seat, have the table of showbread, the candlestick, lampstand, and then we have the incense altar. Now, the mercy seat and the ark of the covenant is found in the room that is called the Holy of Holies. We have talked about this. We're continuing to talk about it to help to understand, to strengthen our understanding, because this is such a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and of our life as a believer, what we should do to stay holy, to walk with him as we should. This is the direction. This is the plan. And so we have it clear back here in the book of Exodus. And so now that we look at this building, this tent, this tabernacle, we know it to be 45 feet long, and it's 15 feet wide and 15 feet high. We've talked about the gold walls. We've talked about the beautiful embroidered white linen. Now we come, and we've even talked about the dividing wall, the veil that is between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. We have it to be 30 feet is the first room, 30 feet long, and then you have the veil. And then there's an additional 15 foot beyond that, which is the Holy of Holies. So holy place, Holy of Holies. Keep those two rooms straight. Keep them separated from each other, because one is only entered in one day in the year, and that's on the Day of Atonement. The rest of the time, the Holy of Holies is the presence of God. God's glory is there. Shekinah glory cloud comes and rests down. The very presence of God is in this holy place. Plan that God has put together. The place, this Holy of Holies, where the Shekinah glory cloud rests, the glory of God comes, is in none other than the Holy of Holies, and we have the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat is what is in that room, that first room. Now we're going to take just a little bit of time and go through this, and then we're going to go through the others, the table of showbread, the candlestick, and the incense altar. We're going to go through there first, and then we're going to come back, because that's the way we come. We don't start in the presence of God. We start back on the outside at the altar of the brazen altar, which is where the sacrifice is offered. It's where the cross is found. The sacrifice, Jesus was our perfect sacrifice. And so we have that first. Then, you see, when we move beyond that, we go to the laver. Because immediately after salvation, immediately after this time that we invite Jesus Christ to come into our hearts, and that is a time. Please don't ever think I have always been a believer, because that's impossible. There has to be a time when you become an adult. It could be a very young adult, could be what we would even call a child, but there is a time when you recognize your sin, that you're lost, and you need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ, and you invite Him into your heart. There is a time when you do that. And please, please, I beg you, don't miss that. Don't miss that time, because until then, until you do that, this is going to be, you say, yes, I believe, and yes, I understand, but you don't understand, and you don't believe. Because you can't until you come by faith to the cross of Calvary. So that's where it begins. So you see, we can't just go right into the presence of God without taking care of some things. And that's what we're going to do today. We're taking care of some things. And so very quickly here we find the man, Bezalel, a man that God gave him wonderful talents. And those talents is to take his hands and take his knowledge, and God just almost seems like he put that right into his mind how to make these things. And so it's just there, and he begins to melt down the gold and to make what God intends for the Ark of the Covenant and this mercy seat. The Ark of the Covenant, to begin with, is 45 inches long, 27 inches wide, 27 inches deep, and 27 inches high. And so if you stop and think about that, that's less than 4 foot long. And it's just a little more than 2 foot wide and a little more than 2 foot tall. This is not big. And can you imagine this piece of furniture then setting in the... in this room, 15 by 15. And so that's what God designed. So it's 45 inches by 27 inches by 27 inches by 27 inches tall. Now, it is a box affair, and it is has a hollow spot in the middle, and that's where the Aaron's butted staff was placed. That's where we have the table of showbread. Manna. The manna that God fed the nation of Israel with, it went in there. And then, thirdly, was the Ten Commandments. They were placed in this inside this chest. And then there was a cover that was put on top of it, and the cover was also 45 inches by 27 inches, and it was a little different because the chest is acacia wood overlaid with gold. But the mercy seat, this seat of gold, was placed on the top of that, and then on that was two cherubims, one facing the other. They were facing each other, and the wings were spread out, and some have kind of portrayed it, those wings touch each other, some that they just protrude forwards towards each other in some magnificent scene to look at it. Again, the cherubims were of pure gold, the mercy seat was pure gold, the chest was made of acacia wood overlaid with gold. We've talked about that the wood speaks of the perfect humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gold speaks of His deity, His eternal deity. And so now we have that in the chest but we have just completely his holiness, his deity in the top. That's all that's there. Now, the Ten Commandments are inside this chest. And here's this gold, and God expects us to be perfect in the law, to keep it 100%, not one little part that we can move or change or break. We just can't do it. So here we have a problem, because we cannot keep this perfect law. There's no way. We're lost. We're a sinner. We're born in sin. We can't keep it. So what are we going to do? Well, that's where the blood comes in, my friend. Once a year on the Day of Atonement, that blood is sprinkled on this mercy seat. And that's what truly makes it a mercy seat. Now, what a wonderful, wonderful place. What a wonderful opportunity we have to meet our God. And we can come right before our God because of that. But there's some things that need to be taken care of before we get that far. That is the end. That's the wonderful day that each one of us can enjoy each and every day as a believer fellowshipping with our God. However, let's back up now. Let's come back all the way back up from that room, that 15 by 15 room. Remember the Holy of Holies. Let's back up. Let's come to the holy place. All right, in there we have some furniture there as well. We have table showbread. We have the lampstand, and we have the incense altar. Let's back on up out of there, and we're going to run into the brazen laver. On back, we're going to back up, and we're going to land into the brazen altar. All right, this brazen altar is where it all begins. Again, you must acknowledge that you're a sinner and you're lost and that you need a Savior. And the only way that comes to pass is when that Holy Spirit can finally break through and get into that old cold heart of yours and show you the evil wickedness that you are and how that He loves you and He died for you, and all we need to do is accept Him as our Savior, invite Him into our hearts, and then we become new. And so you see, that takes place outside. Then immediately comes, because we have the washing of the water by the Word, and so now we come and we begin to the cleansing process. We got a new heart, but we still have the old flesh. And boy, there's a lots of cleaning needs to be done. And so we're going to set out to do that. We're going to set out to do this cleaning. All right, now, upon this cleaning process, this washing process, it's done by us studying the Word. We study the Word will show us something that's not right, and instead of saying, "No, God, you're wrong," we need to say, "We are wrong," and accept what God has said, not change it, not pollute it or destroy it, but say that God is true, God is right, and we are wrong, and we trust in the Lord Jesus that His Word is true. And so we begin the washing, the cleansing process, and that old scrubbing sometimes kind of hurts. But that's what it takes to change our lives. And so, my friend, we take care of that. And then so we've taken care of our sin at the cross, at the brazen altar. We've begun to change our lives and begin to clean our lives up at the brazen laver. Now we can come in after that. And that process of cleansing, of cleaning, goes on through all of our life. It never ends. But we go into the tabernacle, into the holy place, and we find this table of showbread. And that's the thing that's next. And again, we're going to go back and spend a little more time with the ark and the mercy seat a little later. But right now, I want to go and I want to take a look at this table of showbread. We need to understand that out of Egypt, they were delivered. They were delivered out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. Remember, as they put it on the doorpost, on the lintel, they had to do that. Everything was God's way. That separated them from the world. So out of Egypt, by the blood of the Lamb, that allows us for the first time now to stand, praise, and honor God, but we're still in the world. That's the problem. We have been separated from the world because now we are a child of God, no longer a child of the devil, but we're still in the world. And this tabernacle is the means, it's the provisions that we need to make this wilderness journey. So I just want you to see that. I have studied this tabernacle. I have enjoyed it for so many years. It becomes part of almost every study and every sermon. It becomes almost every Bible study that I have. At some point in time, I'll pull a little part out to make an example to show it is that important that we understand. And so here we begin, and we have this table. Now, remember, we have already dealt with our sin. Our sin, as far as God's concerned, as far as the east is from the west, it's been taken away. We took care of that when the sacrifice was offered at the brazen altar. But then we were pretty filthy and pretty dirty, even though we had a new heart. Everything else was dirty. Mind's dirty, everything's dirty. And so we go to the brazen laver, and we begin the cleaning, we begin the washing, and we take it, and you can just know how you've put in a hard day's work, and you come and you begin to wash. And so we take care of that. And then next, why we can go in then after the cleansing, not until then, after the cleansing, now we have an opportunity to go in for some fellowship. Now this fellowship we find at the table of showbread. Now, and fellowship is not what, and you connected immediately there, didn't you? Food. Well, that's where most fellowship is done today in most churches, is over a meal. Well, it's fine to fellowship there, but the real fellowship is over God's Word. And this table of showbread represents that. That is, we can feed upon His living Word. And we have some wonderful verses of Scripture here that I would like to look to. And we're going to go to the New Testament. We've been in the Old Testament for so long, but we're going to go to the New Testament here. We have many cross-references that we look at there from time to time. John chapter 6, the Gospel of John. John chapter 6, we're going to look at the 35th verse here. And Jesus said, this is the Lord Jesus speaking, said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Then if you go down to verse 48, I am the bread of life. Verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So you see, we find that even though we come to the table of showbread and we begin to feed upon this bread, it is its life. It gives us life. The cleansing is part of that process of living. But also then this feeding, this fellowship is a wonderful time of feeding, of fellowship. The lampstand, the candlestick, you're going to find out that it speaks of giving us an ability to serve, but also it is our light. It allows us to see what we need to learn in the time of fellowship, the feeding upon the Word. And then the incense altar, the third one that we're going to look at, it speaks of worship. Most people, many people, stop all the way. They stop back at the brazen altar, their salvation. They never move forward. They don't like that process of cleaning. Well, if you don't like the cleaning, you can never go in to the feeding and the fellowship that comes at the table of showbread. you'll never truly see the light that the Lord Jesus has to give you so you can begin to work and serve and praise and honor God. And you'll never get to this incense altar or the prayer altar. And that is the step and the stages of worship. Today, that word worship is so abused. I'm come to worship, and all they're doing is singing choruses back and forth, same thing all the time. And it's there's no glory to God to it. There's no glory to man. The only thing is, the glory to man is there was what's problem is, and it makes people feel good. Well, when it comes to the Word of God and the cleansing, and if you've got the cleaning, and then you go into the feeding, and you have the light of the Lord Jesus, it is going to be a solemn time, a learning time, a growing time, and that time is going to bring you to the next step, and that step is worship. And many people believe that when you come to church and you open up your Bible or you open up your hymn book and you sing the hymns, we've come to worship. That's what we call it. But that's not really true. That is fellowship. That's a time of fellowship. The worship time could be, can be a time at that same time, but it probably is not. The worship time is an individual one-on-one with God. It's a special time. It's a quiet time when you're alone with God. You're spending time speaking to Him, praying with Him, praying to Him. He is making intercession for you before the Father. And that is the stage that brings us to where we can come through the veil into the Holy of Holies. Not until then. Okay, this table is 36 by 18, and so it's 3 foot by a foot and a half by 27 inches in height. And so, once again, it's not real large. It has a crown about it, and that crown has a very special purpose to keep the bread on. There are 12 loaves of bread that represents the 12 tribes of Israel. This food is a food for the priests. It is their food daily. They come to this table for fellowship. They come into this room to eventually worship, but first they come to fellowship. And each part of this is brought on, is allowed to us by the basis of what took place out at the brazen altar where the animal was slain. Not until then. We can enjoy our fellowship with our God only because of what took place out at the brazen altar. It begins there. It comes to the laver next, and then it comes in next. Today, what we call worship time, we come and praise and worship. It's as ungodly as going into a tavern to drink a half dozen beers and come home drunk. It's sad. It's so sad, my friend, and most people don't realize it at all, and maybe you're one of them. Maybe you're one. Will you please look at this tabernacle? Look at this building, because God has given us this. Number one, it's a picture of our Savior Jesus Christ from beginning to end. It's all set on the foundation of this silver that we've talked about. Please, please don't miss what you're to be doing. First, come to Calvary. Come to the cross of Calvary. Next, come for the cleansing, the washing that takes place. Again, by opening up His Word. You may do that by yourself. The preacher may do it when he preaches. The Sunday school teacher may do it when he teaches or she teaches. Whatever might be the case. But it's going to deal with you. It's going to change your life. It's going to change your heart. We need to do that. We need to make you more like Jesus. I need to be more like Jesus. So please, please, let's look to the cross of Calvary. And then we come in and we feed upon the Word. Not upon the waving of our hands back and forth and singing this chorus in a repeated fashion. Please, my friend, let's get the old hymns out. Let's get the book out. And let's study His precious Word. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?